time for the Easy Organic Gardener. This is Sherry Herrera Day Fry, horticulturalist, biocontrol specialist, gardener, composter, mom, worm farmer, very important, and Dr. Bug Lady, and I'm your host for the next hour. My guest is the amazing, delightfully passionate Marjorie Wildcraft. Marjorie's been a guest on the Easy Organic Gardener before when we talked about how to grow your own food, even if you don't have a green thumb. Today, we're going to be talking about her recent trip to Cuba, where she had the opportunity to learn about the organic farming system there. You're going to be intrigued by what she learned. I want you to feel free to call in during this hour if you have a gardening question, a question about a particular pest, or you simply want to make a comment about our topic. We'd love to hear from you. And when you call in during this hour, you're going to receive a Rapid Test soil test kit and a Rapid Test pH soil tester as my gift. These are a must-have on hand, and everything begins with knowing what's going on in your soil. And this gift retails for $25, and it's yours when you call in during this hour. Here's the number to call, 877-300-7645, 877-300-7645. I just want you to know that I'm so excited to have Marjorie with me. Her mission is really homegrown food. And homegrown food on every table is the mission of Marjorie Wildcraft's organization. Marjorie has been called the Martha Stewart of self-reliance, as she is a regular guest on many national radio and television shows. And most recently, Marjorie was featured as an expert in sustainable living by National Geographic. She's an author of several books, but is best known for her video series, Grow Your Own Vegetables, groceries, which helps you create an organic food-producing paradise in your backyard. Grow Your Own Groceries is widely used by homesteaders, survivalists, universities, and missionary organizations around the world. Marjorie has an online resource center for backyard food production at www.growyourowngroceries.org. That's growyourowngroceries.org, where you can find inspiration, humor, and practical steps for getting homegrown food on your dinner table. And Marjorie recently went on a trip with 26 other organic farmers, permaculturalists, and food activists to Cuba. And she's going to be telling us about it during this hour. So I'm not going to take any more time. I'm just going to invite Marjorie to join me right now. Hey, Marjorie, how are you doing today?
Hi, Sherry. Thanks so much for having me back on the show.
I am so delighted. I just want you to know how much I enjoy your videos. They are absolutely spectacular, and I have saved every single one of them and have referenced you quite a bit, so people know about you, but also for people who really want to see how it's done. I mean, you're just so easygoing, and it's so no nonsense and practical the way you do things in the garden. So thank you for all the work that you've been doing.
Well, thank you so much. And I often speak about you in our last conversation when I'm out doing public talks and talking on shows about so many people come up with insect problems. And I said, Sherry, you've got to talk to Sherry over at Arbico, and they realized it all comes down to the soil.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you have just been on the go since the last time you were on the show. I'm just blown away. My goodness, girl. Off to Cuba. And, I don't know when you get a spare moment to garden, though.
I fit it in, although I tend to sometimes have losses. Like, oh, my God, that did not get watered. Hmm.
Yes, I understand that. We have that one going on as well. Not so much with the outdoor plants, but with the indoor plants. You know, where we live here in Tucson, you can literally grow food indoors. And just last night, my husband and I were having a talk, and I said, by any chance, did you get that plant over in the corner? And he goes, uh-oh. So, yeah, the thing was on its last leg. But, you know, it's okay. That's just part and parcel of the whole experience. So bring us up to how the heck you got to where you were going to go to Cuba. This is very exciting. Give us a little bit of a background here so we can get into
Cuba.
The talk.
Isn't that amazing? Well, the Millions Against Monsanto group, is founded by Ronnie Cummings, and he's also associated with the Organic Consumers Association, and I do a lot with that group, and because, you know, those are people that should want to grow organic food, right? You know, forget Monsanto, just grow your own. So I do a lot of partnership with that group, and they organized this trip to Cuba. And I was like, Cuba in February, this is a no-brainer, right?
Absolutely.
And it was just amazing. You know, and the whole trip, it was a 10-day trip, and there were 26 other organic farmers, permaculturists, food activists. And this was not a, stay at the Hotel National air-conditioned bus trip. This was, we were staying at a Martin Luther King Center in a working-class neighborhood in dormitories and going around in this funky old school bus. And visiting everything from, you know, backyard production stuff with this person and little neighborhood permaculture sites all the way up to visiting larger and larger, you know, like a big tobacco grower and some of the bigger cooperatives there, all the different ways that they grow food. And they structured this trip, and also including getting to go to all the different kind of markets there are and different kind of restaurants. So I was in hog heaven. This was totally a trip designed for me.
Well, because you're so resourceful, and that's something that you teach is resourcefulness, you know, being able to take advantage of what's right in front of you.
The Cubans grow about half of all their own food locally, and by and large, that's all done with the organic method. Now, they didn't just do this because out of the goodness of their heart. They actually did this because they underwent a very severe economic collapse. And the background story on that, so people understand that, you know, we live in this global interconnected world, and it's amazing how connected things are sometimes. So the Soviet Union came apart, right, toward in the late 1990s. Well, the consequence of that is that the satellite countries that had been heavy trading partners with them, for example, Cuba, which had been growing a bunch of sugar for the Soviet Union, and in exchange getting fuel and pesticides and chemicals. Well, that just basically stopped overnight. Like overnight, the Cubans suddenly had, you know, hardly any fuel. They had no food coming in. Their electricity started going out. You've got 11 million people. What are you going to do? And they did what humans do in any time of stress throughout history, and they started growing food in their backyards, and they started growing food on patios and then on rooftops, and they started organizing in cooperatives and taking over this lot on the corner. And the government got involved, and they said, let's turn this plot, this 5-acre plot or this 10-acre plot over here. And they started growing food organically. And since then, it's become a part of they're very clear that food sovereignty is vitally important for a nation.
It is absolutely remarkable. I mean, the fact that it was like Soviet Union pulled out overnight, and I mean, you provided me with some statistics here. The economy plummeted by 60%, buses stopped running, lights went out, and the average Cuban lost 20 pounds. I mean, that's pretty astounding. I mean, you know, it is amazing, though, that in spite of all that, they were able to pull up and begin to grow again, and their economy, while it's not, I wouldn't call it necessarily thriving, but they are able to feed those 11 million people, which is so important.
They are definitely well on the road to recovery now, and they went through some hard times. There was definitely some malnutrition issues coming up. And I did a lot of interviews with the Cubans. I was very interested in this transition. And some of the problems came from the average Cuban. If you said, what do you really like to eat every day? What's your favorite meal? And it's always rice and beans and some meat.
Yeah, that's what we like. You know what? Here's what the deal is. We're going to take a quick break here in about 5 seconds, Marjorie. So I don't want you to get into the topic and then I have to cut you off. So I'm going to cut you off in about 3 seconds. And when we come back, I want to hear about, rice and beans, because everybody loves rice and beans. And we're going to be talking about this amazing transformation that occurred in Cuba. So don't go away. Keep listening on. And if you have a question for Marjorie or myself, you can give us a call at 877-300-7645 and you'll receive your free gift. Don't go away.
Thank you. Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fem and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you for listening to The Easy Organic Gardener. This is Sherry Herrera de Fry, your host this hour, and my guest is the lovely Marjorie Wildcraft. Marjorie Wildcraft has been called the Martha Stewart of self-reliance, and she is full of energy, and I'm so glad to have her back on the show with me. For those of you who are listening, if you have a question for Marjorie or myself, the number is 877-300-7645. Love to hear from you. And welcome back, Marjorie.
Thanks, Sherry. Yeah.
So you were telling us about your trip to Cuba and what the average, as you arrived there with the rest of your entourage, and you were saying how you weren't being hosted at the top hotel in Havana, but that you were actually out there with the gente and learning about all the different styles of gardening, from the most small backyard to the more larger situation. And it came down to, asking people, what do you like to eat? And you said most people like rice and beans.
Well, that was a part of the problem during the crisis, was they really like rice and beans and meat. And those things don't grow that well. The beans they can do pretty well, but rice actually doesn't grow that well in Cuba. The things that they do grow really well are vegetables and fruits and things like that. They're, tropical, semi-tropical zone. In addition to the crisis of not having the food that they're normally used to, the food that they could grow was something they weren't used to. So it made an additional challenge. But one of the encouraging things, now 20 years later, is they've incorporated a lot more vegetables into their diet, and their health statistics are starting to show that they're healthier as a population.
It's so interesting because I found the same scenario in Central America. If you think about Cuba, it's just a little, it's an island, almost, I would call it a part of Central America, although it is in the Caribbean. But the Spanish that is spoken and the culture of Cuba is the same as Puerto Rico, the same as Panama, the same as Colombia and the Dominicana areas. And their food is all the same. They love rice and beans and meat, as you said. And what was so interesting for me was to spend a lot of time in Central America. I actually grew up in Central America, in the country of Panama and Honduras. And we were in Honduras. I was there for a week, hosted by USAID, showing farmers how to grow organically. And the thing that I thought was just dumbfounding was that they, in Honduras, they eat red beans and rice. And the red beans are completely imported from the United States. They do not even grow them there, but that's their main staple. I mean, how unsustainable is that?
That's right. That was similar to what Cuba faced. They had a lot of wake-up calls. They were telling a story of a cow they had that produced like 20 gallons of milk. This was at the height of the Soviet time. This cow produced 20 gallons of milk, and they were so proud of this cow. And it was completely sustained with grains and all kinds of things that are totally imported. And so the model has completely gotten away from that now. They've focused solely on grass-based holistic management systems. They're not going for such huge, large yields. They're going for more consistent things. Speaking of cows, I have to just mention this one beautiful, beautiful comment from Corey. I can't remember her last name. She was the neighborhood permaculture activist. And everywhere I went, they're still using horses and oxen to plow and to work the land.
Mm.
Even though there is more fuel and there's some accessibility to the tractors, they don't use them and they don't want to use them. And this one woman, Corey, was telling me, and she said, my ox only needs grass and water and to be caressed.
Mm-hmm.
The tractor needs so many other things. I would much rather have the ox.
Right. The Cubans, they are the resource of resource people. I mean, just think of all those amazing U.S. cars that they have kept up to date. And, they're all painted and pretty. And
the first thing that hits you coming out of the airport.
Yeah,
is like, oh, my gosh, the 1950s and the 1940s and all the, that's not my thing, but all the people in the group that, I had one of those when I was younger. That looks like mine. And, the old cars, and they really use them.
They really use them, and they have a whole industry of people that do nothing but fix them and make things for them, and they're beautiful.
They're geniuses. I mean, how do they, even the Cubans joke about it, and they say, it's a miracle. And they say, but you look underneath the hood, it's the United Nations under there. There's all kinds of parts salvaged from Europe and from China and duct tape, and there's baling wire.
So I know a lot of people are probably wondering, like, how did you get there? And, you know, a lot of people, I mean, you know, we've sort of been brainwashed about Cuba. I still don't understand, you know, a country that's 90 miles from us, how we can't seem to get along with each other, you know. But
yeah.
Perhaps I just am missing something. That, and, you know, as children, we were so afraid. You know, those of us who grew up in the Cuban Missile Crisis were post that, you know, you heard about it, and so we were always so terrified of this Cuban island nation that, you know, was going to blow us up one day and whatnot. So it's definitely been off limits. So what's the scoop on that?
Well, in order to go, and you do have to jump through some State Department hoops. It's not too bad. For us, we all had to be professionals in organic food production. The trip needed to be coordinated by a local that was, you know, and the days were filled with mostly work-related items, you know, visiting farms and things. And we had to get basically permission from the State Department. Here's a kind of a funny thing is the Americans are allowed to travel to Cuba, but the way that they make it off limits to us is we're not allowed to spend money there. If we spend any money there without permission, then it's considered trading with the enemy.
Which is so interesting because, you know, every Latin American country trades with Cuba in dollars.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? And you know, I mean, China, Vietnam, there's all these other socialist or communist countries that we deal with, and it's not a big issue. But anyway, we did. And if anybody wants to go, really, if you want to do anything in life, just set your mind to it and open your heart. And you'll be able to do it. You'll find a way to make it happen. It's totally possible.
Got about a minute. What was your first impression when you landed? What was that like?
I would have to say the cars. You know, those old cars, the 1950s, the big model, and they're driving around, and really half of the country is those old cars. It's pretty amazing.
Mm. And the lack of the U.S. monoculture. You don't see, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken there.
No, there's no Walmart and none of that stuff. And, of course, it's just a delightful, tropical climate. You know, there's still lots of remnants of the, there's still lots of signs talking about the revolution and solidarity. So you're very aware that you're in Cuba. It's not like you could accidentally be somewhere else.
Right. Well, they're definitely carrying on the legacy of Castro. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Marjorie Wildcraft more about her experiences in Cuba and what she learned about their growing, their agriculture, and their people. So for those of you who are listening, don't go away. We're coming right back.
Stop wasting countless hours scouring the web for survival gear when you can visit GearUpCenter.com. We specialize in the latest, most innovative products you can't find anywhere else. Products like the Crovo Multi-Tool, aquaponics systems, and our fully loaded bug-out survival trailer.
Tim Rawson here. I created GearUpCenter to bring you the latest quality-tested survival gear at the best price. Be sure to catch me again next season on National Geographic's Doomsday Prepper, where I'll be demonstrating my new Excalibur shotgun adapter system.
Get the gear your life can depend on at GearUpCenter.com.
And remember, prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
Attention, preppers. Think you've got everything? Think again. You need rescue tape, the ultimate emergency repair tape, used by the U.S. Army on trucks and tanks as part of their battle damage repair kit. Rescue tape is 20 times stronger than duct tape. Rescue tape repairs leaky pipes and hoses up to 500 degrees, waterproofs electrical connections, and even works right over oily, dirty surfaces. Rescue tape belongs in every prepper's survival kit, bug out bag, and emergency kit. Get rescued or just get stuck. Learn more at rescuetape.com.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy viruses. byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Oklahoma reminds us there are many kinds of storms in our lives. Nature regularly sends us destructive storms. 24 hours before a storm strikes, people panic. It would be wise to prepare ahead of the panic curve. The food price storm from drought and livestock problems is forecast to hit ridiculous heights by the end of the summer. Wonder if there will really be a problem? eFoods Direct has a plan to maximize your food dollar and guarantee you'll be glad you ordered food. Until June 30th, buy three of any food item and receive the fourth one free with free shipping. The guarantee. After September 20th, when you've seen what happened with food prices and shortages, if you're not glad you ordered food, return the food unopened for a full refund. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633. Your peace of mind guarantee. eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or 800-409-5633.
You've seen them on Doomsday Preppers. You've seen them on network television, Shipping Wars, and the History Channel. Now, the strongest shelters money can buy are here. Atlas Survival Shelters. Made in America from 10-foot diameter galvanized corrugated pipe, up to 11 times stronger than square box shelters, and built to last up to 200 years. And you won't believe the amenities. Atlas shelters contain microwaves, refrigerators, big screen TVs, water tanks, septic systems, bulletproof hatches, and much more. Virtually everything you have at home, just buried 20 feet deep and bomb-proof. See the amazing Atlas Survival Shelters at AtlasSurvivalShelters.com or call 1-855-4-BUNKER. That's 855-4-B-U-N-K-E-R or AtlasSurvivalShelters.com. Financing now available. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Easy Organic Gardener, EASY, environmentally and sustainably yours. This is Sherry Herrera de Fry, your host, and my guest today is just the amazing Marjorie Wildcraft. She has a fabulous website, www.growyourowngroceries.org, and she has these amazing videos that show you everything you want to know about producing a paradise in your backyard, as well as she's written several books. So be sure that you check out her website at growyourowngroceries.org. You can actually sign up to receive Marjorie's videos. I get them every week, and I love them, and I save them and go back and review them over and over again. So, Marjorie, you went to Cuba, and so what's the typical day like there for Cubans? I mean, it's not just, the poor people, but it's people of all statuses that are growing their own food, and are they exporting? Tell us a little bit about the overall, from the little to the big.
Well, you know, for the average Cuban, it's a communist country or a socialist country. I'm not sure the technical term. For the average Cuban, it's very poor, but they've got a really good deal. They have housing. It may not be, super great, but they've got housing. They've got education. They've got medical care. And they get a basic ration card from the government, so they get some basic food supply. So your average Cuban, and even your average poor Cuban, is far better off than an average poor person, I'd say almost anywhere else in South America, or possibly even in the United States. I mean, they've got a lot. I would say also it's an island nation. And one thing that really struck me about that was how aware they are of that. They were very aware of the limitations of their resources. They were also very aware, especially with the embargo being that that's the thing that, that defines them almost now, is the embargo with the United States. They were very aware that they needed to be self-reliant and have their own sovereignty in terms of food and supplies and things that they needed. Also, the average Cuban, they didn't have any issue with the United States. They felt the embargo was totally a U.S. thing. And they said, you know, we're open, we're available, we're ready. What's the problem in the U.S.? You know, it's talking to the people on the street. That was their perspective, was, you know, we don't know why they're doing this to us, really. But overall, on the other hand, I would say having everything taken care of you, one of the downsides of that is there were certainly people with a lot of initiative there, but it isn't rewarded the same way it is in countries that, for in the U.S. here, where we have more of a market or a capitalistic-driven society. They're starting to shift over to that a little bit. For example, a lot of the majority of the way that they grow the organic food is in cooperatives, and I love this, and I don't know about you, Sherry, but I love doing work together with other people. I'm much happier in my garden, you know, gossiping or talking about the neighborhood with a friend while we're weeding than I am doing it on my own. And they have cooperatives where they'll have anywhere from 10 to 100 people working a few acres to, you know, a dozen acres of land to grow food. And the state provides them with the land and helps them with that structure. And they have to give a certain quota to the state in exchange for that. But what they grow beyond that, they can sell on a very small market system that's starting to develop there. And in fact, it's because of that, anybody who's into farming or agriculture in Cuba is making a lot more money than other people. For example, your average farmer is going to make anywhere from 3 to 10 times as much money as a doctor or a lawyer in Cuba.
Isn't that amazing? That really is something.
And that comes directly from when they went through that collapse situation. You know, when you go through collapse and all of a sudden everything's taken out from under you, And the lawyer is suddenly, his lowly gardener who was just taking care of his yard and trimming his plants has suddenly become a very important person. Can you help me figure out how to grow some tomatoes and some sweet potatoes or whatever? You know, can you help me grow some food? So that whole the social hierarchy shifted and did basically a 180. And to this day, that is still very true. They can make a lot, and their government is actually encouraging and supporting that as much as possible.
It is really remarkable that they have been able to turn things around. Different for us, of course, because we're used to a certain, as you said, hierarchy, and this whole thing of where we all used to grow our own food, you know, at some point in time, and then from there, people, you know, became more educated, and then the next level of that was that people grew food for the educated people, so to speak, and they forgot how to grow, and so it's you know, in a way, they were forced to go back. Many of us here are still mystified by what it means to have a garden, how to save seeds, what it takes to live sustainably, because we've never had to. And yet there is this renaissance of people wanting to grow because, for many reasons, for economic reasons, and as you pointed out earlier, the concern over genetically modified food and it being teamed up with glyphosate, which there's so much written about it that is so dangerous, apparently, for people, for animals that are consuming it, and people wanting to get off of that chemical treadmill and want to have more independence and a decision about the quality of their food. And so, the Cubans are a perfect example of having been, if you will, forced into it because they lost the chemical infrastructure, they lost the big country that was supporting them. And so it is really remarkable, though, that they are able to grow so well. And It is a beautiful country, and you see a lot of the Spanish influence there and the buildings, and they have a lot of tourism there. A lot of people come because they're so interested to see what's going on from the in this organic movement.
You know, there's a growing amount more from the U.S. as people figure out ways to get there. And just because the U.S. had an embargo with it does not mean the rest of the world hasn't. So they do have a lot of tourism. They had a surprising amount of Europeans, Canadians, and then, of course, a lot of the South American countries. You know, they came to visit, and so they do have, a burgeoning tourist.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They definitely do. And I've spoken to U.S. People who have been over there, and they just go through a different country. You can go to Mexico, or you can go to Canada. And apparently there is no way that you are, you know, nothing is stamped in your passport or whatever. I'm not suggesting that people do anything illegal. I'm just saying that people have gone over there out of curiosity that could not otherwise be given the endorsement by the State Department. And they've all come back with a very positive outlook on what's going on there, in particular the whole idea of food. And I know food is just near and dear to your heart. You know, it's what makes everything run. It all comes down to food. And, you know, how are we going to feed people in the future?
One of the things, and I don't want to go saying communist or socialism is better or that government is better. I please don't anybody hear me say that. But one of the things that happened for me while I was there was the government there genuinely is trying to encourage more local food. That really is the policy that they have taken on. And they devote energy toward it and resources toward it, and they're really encouraging it. And it felt so different from here in the United States. Our government does that, but it also then shuts down it creates all kinds of regulations, and it seems in a lot of ways that it's hampering the small producers. And, you know, we've got problems with the USDA raiding, you know, raw milk producers. And
exactly. Yeah. Well, let's come back after the break, and I want to hear about what really shocked you during the trip or any experiences that really rocked your world. And we'll be right back. For those of you who are listening, if you have a question for Marjorie or myself, it's 877-300-7645. Don't go away.
Did you know that 50% of heart attacks are brought on by infections? Did you know that hospitals are breeding grounds for antibiotic-resistant bugs like MRSA? The environment is infected with parasites, and the mild winter means ticks with Lyme disease, mosquitoes with West Nile virus, and cold and flu viruses will be on the rise. Protect yourself with nature's natural antiparasitic, antiviral, antifungal, antibiotic, Allicin, the heart of garlic. Get concentrated protection with Alli-C and Alli-Ban from Affinity Health Products. One capsule of Alli-C equals 40 cloves of garlic or 100 garlic pills with no garlic breath. Alli-Ban has Allicin in spray, liquid, and cream forms with 3 times more strength than leading brands and cost less. Go to Alli-C.com, spelled Alli-C.com, or call 855-Allicin. That's 855-255-4246. That's 855-255-4246. Protect yourself with Alli-C and Alli-Ban from Affinity Health Products at Alli-C.com.
It's time to prepare for an uncertain future at the Midwest Self-Reliance Festival, June 28th, 29th, and 30th at the Valair Ballroom in Des Moines. Tickets are only $6 per day or $12 for a 3-day pass. Speakers include Jackie Clay of Backwoods Home Magazine, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy of Doom and Bloom, and Jack Spearco of the Survival Podcast. There's 100 free conceal and handgun classes each day, and you'll gain valuable knowledge as you learn how to prepare with beekeeping, soap making, canning supplies, cooking with solar, gold and silver, seed banks, and water purification. There's even a free apple seed shoot for the kids. Check out the Youngevity booth and the health product line with pharmacist Keith Abel speaking about natural healthy living. The Midwest Self-Reliance Festival, June 28th, 29th, and 30th in Des Moines, Iowa. Presented by My Patriot Supply and sponsored by Genesis Communications Network. Visit valairballroom.com for tickets and find us on Facebook at the Midwest Self-Reliance Festival.
nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind a marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Hi, my name is Annette, and due to menopause symptoms for nearly 2 years, I suffered severe hot flashes, which prevented me from sleeping all night. It was so hard to work because I continued all day to have the hot flashes from hell. I was exhausted and depleted. After only 3 weeks on One World Way, I have no hot flashes, and I'm sleeping normally again. I feel energized and strong. This is an amazing product.
It is a little-known fact that every single cell of your body is supposed to produce 10% of its protein content as glutathione. But due to toxicity and aging, it does not. Could glutathione be a missing factor in optimal cell function for your entire body? If you restore the optimal glutathione levels in your cells, especially your glands and organs, then as a result, your glands and organs work better. Imagine the quality of life improvement you might have. To order One World Way, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
You're listening to The Easy Organic Gardener. This is Sherry Herrera de Fry. My guest is the amazing Marjorie Wildcraft. We're talking about her experiences in Cuba. She recently went with a group of people who learned about the agricultural systems there, how they work, and how people have become very self-reliant, and how they went from almost 100% conventional, synthetically back system to a almost 100% organic system, which is really remarkable. If people say to you, it can't be done, we can't feed people with organic food, well, I don't know the answer whether that's accurate or not. All I can say is they've done a darn good job in Cuba. So, welcome back, Marjorie.
Sure.
So, hey, but let's talk about the big shock or whatever. What really, you know, what was the thing that rocked your world there while you were in Cuba? I mean, give us the lowdown.
Well, the really big shock was that the organic system works. And how quickly people can take it up and do it when they have to. I mean, everywhere I went, I saw the classics of what you talk about on the weekend on every show. Companion planting, integrating animals and livestock and manures into the cycles of fertility and cycles of growing, collecting rainwater and using earthworks to, keep water on the land, seed saving, using beneficial insects, all of the things. And then, of course, composting, vermiculture, using rabbit manures, all of the small livestock, all of the techniques that we use were there, and they were being used by everybody at every location we went to. And it works. And people can learn this fairly quickly and get production up and going. That's what the really big shocker was, like, oh, this is pretty, this is not that hard. And how do you feed 11 million people when you're like cut off almost overnight? Well, you start growing food organically. It works.
Can you imagine? I imagine there are probably 11 million people in New York City And there's not a whole lot of growing going on in that town, although there is a little. But can you imagine? I mean, if they're just cut off, I mean, you have to be resourceful. You have to just figure it out. And obviously they have out of necessity and because they were cut off. And so it is amazing. And while
one of the next things I want to research is during World War II and the Victory Gardens here in the United States. You know, and apparently within the first year of some of those gardens getting going and being embraced by the American people, we also produced a huge amount of food very, very quickly. You know, I think we need to look at examples like that, especially as crazy as our world is getting with, you know, this uncontrolled spending and fiscal cliffs and, you know, all the European countries falling like dominoes. We gotta realize that things could change pretty quickly here too. The parallels between the Cuban experience and what could happen in the United States are all too real. You know, the United States, if we default on our debt, our dollar is going to become worthless. That means we won't be able to afford to buy oil. So we're going to have a bunch of our oil imports cut off. You know, all of our food is also conventionally grown, so we're going to have to immediately try to figure out how to convert over to organic food. We have a much larger population. And, you know, the other thing, the Cuba was cut off from the rest of the world. The United States, if the United States undergoes economic collapse, who is going to come to our aid? It'll be effectively like an embargo. So there's a lot of parallels that we can draw from the Cuban experience. Cuba, I think, went through that period probably more gracefully than the United States would. But for me, there's that hope and that beautiful example of, yes, we could do it. We could pull together. We can grow food. We can work together. We can reorganize our communities. And it's possible.
Absolutely, it is possible. And, you know, something that we don't talk about, or at least we do talk about it on the show, but I think something that we haven't talked about yet is that food that is grown, you know, when you're growing your own food, the taste is so different. The energy of growing is different. The collaboration that you're talking about between neighbors and between the cooperativos and, you know, that's a whole other, another part of society that gets built, if you will. And so there are many other tangible and intangible assets, if you will, that that happens when we do grow our own food that we talk about quite a bit. And so my guess is that the food is probably very tasty there. What was your experience of the food that you ate?
Well, I did really enjoy the fresh vegetables and fruits that they had, but they still do serve a lot of rice and beans, which are all imported. So I was pretty disappointed about that. Another thing that also interested me was eggs. There wasn't a huge amount of eggs, and I would have thought in a country that doesn't really have freezers, they have a lot of insects, they would have been able to find a way to sustainably, you know, have chickens, because chickens really are insectivores. And they had a pretty good amount of egg production, but I would have thought they would have had a lot more. So there's some things you're going, oh, you know, I might have done it. Everybody looking at everybody else's system would say, oh, yeah, there's a way I could do it better. But it's... overall, it's just quite an amazing journey they've been on, and it wasn't easy by any means. You know, you talk to the people, they don't ever want to go through that again. They call it the special period, but most of the Cubans were going, we don't like that name because...
The special period? More like the period from hell.
Yeah, the hellish period. By the way, Sherry, I have a lot of interviews with Cubans on my website at growyourowngroceries.org. If anybody wants to see Rita... Hernandez and some different people that had they talk about their experiences and some of the hardships and different things. This one gentleman who actually ended up having to go to a mental health institute just because he couldn't handle the pressures of what was going on. But there's lots of interviews on the web at growyourowngroceries.org if people want to get a sense more from the Cubans themselves.
Well, and, you know, as you left, what was your feeling about after you left? What did you go away with? I'm just curious as far as, you know, what are you bringing to the table now with that experience?
Well, for me, it really deepened my mission of homegrown food on every table. That mission statement is just, as you were saying earlier, it embodies so many things that are good and that are right. Having healthy food means we'll have healthy bodies. We don't need insurance companies, and we don't need a medical system if we've got good, healthy, nutritious food. You know, we don't need the utter dependence that we have now. But, you know, we don't have to have big corporations like Monsanto doing the incredible things we're doing if we're growing our own food. We regain our community when we start swapping seeds and, you know, sharing eggs and giving away excess tomatoes. It's, you know, that sense of community and connectedness is also something that is just beautiful. And so more than anything, seeing the success that they had, how they had gone through this horrible, horrible, horrible collapse and come through it fairly well, was very, very inspiring to me. And it also just further motivated me toward this vision of homegrown food on every table.
Well, that's what it's all about. I mean, no matter how big or how small your circumstance, just the sheer pleasure of growing something, whether it's in a container and it's just one basil plant or a small garden plot, whether you're striving to be a market grower, and we see a lot of that now, so many people are becoming market growers.
I
love that.
Economics are turning around that you can actually make a living at farming again.
I love it. I think that is the best ever, and we meet so many people that, you know, that are young people too, that are right out of college with unusual degrees like mathematics and engineering, and they've decided to go become farmers, and they're having the time of their lives, and they're making a living, and it's an honest, lovely living that at the end of the day they feel good about what they're doing, and that's really what it's all about. We've got about a minute left. Marjorie, give us our audience, tell them what you want them to know at the end of the day.
Start growing your own food. It's really simple, just as Sherry said, even just a plant on the windowsill, and it'll make a big difference in your life and the lives around you. Start growing your own groceries. The website's growyourowngroceries.org. There's a ton of free resources to help you get started and get going there.
Yay. Marjorie, thank you. A big kiss and a hug to you. Thank you so much for coming back, and I'd love to have you back again. And for those of you who are listening, we're going to have another great guest next week. So be sure to make it a great, easy, organic gardening week. This is Sherry Herrera Day Fry.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We can buy GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll free 888 888- 877-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.